The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter number 31, Text number 30, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on October 9th, 2009, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter number 31, Text number 30. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Sri Shuka uvacha.
Sri Shuka uvacha.
Ityanam yatam amantra.
Ityanam yatam amantra.
Viduro gajasavhyam. Svanam dridikshu prayayau. Gatinam nirithashaya. Sri Shuka uvacha. Ityanam yatam amantra. Vidaro gajasabhyam. Svanam dridikshu prayayau. Gatinam nirithashaya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Shukadev Goswami continued. Vidura thus offered obeisances unto the great sage Maitreya, and taking his permission, started for the city of Hastinapur to see his own kinsman, although he had no material desires. Purport. When a saintly person wants to see his kinsman, he has no material desire to see them. He simply wants to give them some instructions so that they can benefit. Vidura belonged to the royal family of the Kauravas, and although he knew that all the family members were destroyed at the Battle of Kurukshetra, he nonetheless wanted to see his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, to see if he could deliver Dhritarashtra from the clutches of Maya. When a great saintly person like Vidura sees his relatives, he desires only to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Vidura thus offered his respectful obeisances to his spiritual master, and departed for the city of Hastinapur, the kingdom of the Kauravas.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathan Vita Tham Sujivan Sadvaitam Zavadutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha.
So the first point is this. Vidura didn't just take off without first getting permission. What does this mean? This means that when you're in the presence of a great saintly person, you do not consider you're independent. One considers in the presence of his spiritual master that he is simply the servant of the spiritual master, that he cannot act in any way independently. Therefore, there is no question of leaving the presence of the spiritual master unless one receives permission to do so. And if the spiritual master says no, then you stay. In other words, the disciple has no independence. He is completely under the direction of the spiritual master. This is an important point in this verse. And the other point, which has been elaborately described by Srila Prabhupada, is the point of visiting one's kinsmen. Normally people visit their relatives because they have some feeling of attachment. What does that feeling of attachment mean? It means I think that my relatives are great because they are the members of such and such family. And I am also a member of such and such family. Therefore, I am great. It's a way of worship. In other words, attachment to one's relatives is a means of worshiping yourself, actually. The Smith family is the most wonderful family, you see. The Smiths are the most wonderful people in the world, you see. Because I am a Smith. Therefore, the Smiths are the most wonderful people. Therefore, I must associate with the Smiths. You see? So this is Maya's trick, you see. What does Bhagavatam say? What is that verse? That one who considers this bodily bag of three elements, mucus, bile, and air, to be the very self, who considers the place of his birth to be a holy tirtha, who considers the people who are related to be his body to be his relatives and nobody else, and who goes to the holy place of pilgrimage simply to take bath without hearing from the sadhus who are residing there. Sa eva gokara. He is cow and ass. That's him. In other words, if I am caught up in this mentality, oh, my relatives, that means I am cow and ass. That's him. Relatives are relative. They are not absolute. So, the sadhu, the saintly person, he does not deny his relatives. Vidura, he is not denying his relatives. But he does not think that these are my relatives and nobody else. He sees that all living entities are his relatives. If you really love your relatives, then why are you eating meat? You see? They are your relatives also. Would you kill your little brother and have him for lunch? That's what they are doing. They are killing their own relatives and eating them. Eating my little brother's arm. You see? Would you eat your little brother's arm? How about his foot? You see? It's so gross thing. So if you really love your relatives, then you must see that all living entities are your relatives. Actually, those persons who are your relatives in this lifetime, they are not that unique. Because we have been in this cycle of birth and death for unlimited millions of lifetimes. We have been through every possible relationship with everybody in the whole universe. In some lifetime or other, everyone has been your brother, everyone has been your father, everyone has been your spouse. You've had intimate family relationships with every single creature in the whole universe. Even that cockroach was previously your family member, you see. Maybe you were a cockroach also. Or maybe he was a human being, you see. We have had intimate family relationships with every single living entity in this whole universe. So why should we be so excited about our relatives, you see? If you want to really get excited about your relatives, then preach this Krishna consciousness movement. That is love for your relatives. You they are all your relatives. So you dedicate your life for saving your relatives from the cycle of birth and death. Of course, it is natural that we have a certain affection due to bodily relationship in this lifetime. They are not denying them. So that affection can be accepted up to the point of how far it is beneficial for your Krishna consciousness and their Krishna
consciousness.
Every pious boy or girl loves his parents. That's natural. He loves his brothers and sisters, his aunts, his uncles. It is natural sentiment. We do not deny that sentiment. We accept it in Krishna consciousness, just as Vidura accepted it in Krishna consciousness. Actually, he did not go to visit Dhritarashtra out of any feeling of familial affection. It was pure Vaishnava compassion. That my poor brother Dhritarashtra, he is so much in Maya. Let me see now if I can somehow save him from his illusion. And actually Vidura was very successful. Dhritarashtra gave up the royal palace. He went with Gandhari, his beloved wife, and they accepted Vanaprastha, living in the forest. So it was a great blessing, this preaching of Vidura. It empowered Dhritarashtra to finally break free of this attachment to the royal palace, you see. It would seem impossible that Dhritarashtra could ever become a Vanaprastha living in the forest, you see. But by the mercy of the pure devotee, Vidura, you see, it became possible. This is the power of the pure devotee. By the pure devotee's mercy, that which is impossible becomes possible. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum lamigate gidam yat kripa tamahang vande shi guru dina tadanam. By the mercy of that spiritual master who is the friend of all living beings, a person who is not a very qualified speaker, he can deliver eloquent speeches. And even that person who is completely lame, he can cross over the mountain. So by the mercy of a great devotee like Vidura, even unqualified people like us, we can conquer over these unconquerable senses and become solidly situated in Krishna consciousness. So we should pray for the mercy of these great personalities like Vidura, that they bless us, that we can truly become the Goswamis and give up our entanglement within the repetition of birth and death. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Mes tą materialinę šeimos sampratą galim ją perkelti, ar toks įmanimas variantas, kad perkelti į mūsų bendruomenę. Buvo kalbama apie šeimą ir ar įmanoma tokius, kaip išvengti to materialios sampratos šeimos perkelimo į mūsų bendruomenę. Mes irgi čia galim visus galėti žiūrėti kaip savo šeimos narių. Kaip žiūrim, bet kaip mes su materialinį.
You were talking about family relationships, and we have some kind of understanding what is family relationship in this material world. So how we can make sure that we do not put that kind of ideas in our society and we do not start to act like in a materialistic family?
Yes, in a materialistic family, Krishna is not the center.
Taip, materialistiško šeimo Krishna yra ne centras.
Sense gratification is the center.
Ten centras yra jūsinis pasitenkinimas.
So, in our ISKCON family,
taigi mūsų ISKCON šeimoje,
the center is Krishna.
Centras yra Krishna.
That is the difference.
Toks yra skirtumas.
As long as we do everything for the pleasure of Krishna,
tol kol viską darom Krishnos malonumui,
then that family feeling amongst the devotees is a very nice thing. Prabhupada explains this is one of the items of surrendering to Krishna. That we should become members of a spiritual family. Don't you like this ISKCON family? Isn't it wonderful? I love it. I love ISKCON. It's so many wonderful loving relationships in ISKCON. And Srila Prabhupada explained that there will be another ISKCON in the spiritual world. That means these relationships we're cultivating now, this is only the beginning. We will all be together in Goloka.
Visi
In Krishna's pastime and in Lord Chaitanya's pastime. So what were these relationships we're cultivating now? This is only the beginning. And Prabhupada even explained in a letter to one of his disciples that when you go back to Godhead, you remember your activities on the earth also. So that means we can be sitting on the bank of the Jamuna in Goloka Vrindavan, remembering our days we had here in Lithuania together. Can you imagine? We're sitting there with Krishna, joking, you know, stealing out of his lunch bag some sweets and laughing, you see. And remembering these days we had here in Lithuania together. All the wonderful kirtans, the wonderful prasadam, the wonderful realizations we shared together, you see. The wonderful devotees in Vilnius, like Dayagavinda and Shamananda Prabhu, we can remember these wonderful devotees, you see. And in this way, we can have so many wonderful remembrances in the spiritual world. We can remember Shridhar Swami, or Jali Swami, Iskan Jali Swami. I mean, there's just so many leelas happening in ISKCON at every minute and all over the world. Amazing leelas. And in the spiritual world, these will not be forgotten. We can sit with Prabhupada and talk with him about what it was like when he landed on the Jaladuta in Boston. I mean, there's just so much nectar awaiting us in the spiritual world. All we have to do is qualify ourselves by not catering to the senses more than is necessary to keep oneself healthy. Do what is necessary for health, and the balance of energy should all go to Krishna. We have to be careful not to overindulge our senses. Because as soon as we overindulge our senses, our minds become feverish with material desires. And we forget Krishna. We start to think that gratifying our senses is the way to be happy. We forget that Krishna Seva is the true secret of happiness. So are there any other questions? Vishnu Priya Manaji. What did she say?
Vidura was very knowledgeable person, and why instead of going to public to preach, he preached to his brother, elder brother.
His brother is part of the public.
Yeah, he specifically chose his own relative instead of seeing everybody as a relative.
Ir klausimas buvo toksai, kad Vidura, kuris matė visus kaip savo giminaičius, kodėl jis toks buvo išsilavinęs buvo, kodėl jis ėjo tik pas savo brolį, o ne pas šitį, pas visus žmonės pamokslą.
If the Vaishnava is compassionate to the general public,
jeigu Vaishnavas yra jaučiu žautą,
that means he cannot be compassionate to his brother?
Ar tai reiškia, kad jis negali jausti žautą savo brolį?
Why did he choose to be compassionate specifically to his brother?
Yeah.
Prabhupada doesn't say. He said he wanted to see his elder brother to see if he could deliver him. That's why. Because he wanted to save him. That's why. That's the only answer that Prabhupada gives for your question. He said, so to see if he could deliver him, and he says, and he desires only to deliver them. So that's, there's no answer given by Prabhupada other than his desire to deliver Dhritarashtra. So your question is, the pure devotee, he wants to deliver everybody. So why did he single out Dhritarashtra? Was it due to family affection? Or was it completely free of any material desires? Is family affection using Krishna's service a material desire? That's the next question. The answer is, family affection dovetailed in Krishna's service is not material, it is spiritual. So even if he went to see Dhritarashtra out of family affection, that is not material. Because it was purely for the purpose of delivering Dhritarashtra, and there was no material desire in that at all, completely pure. This is why it's considered most fortunate to be born in a family of Vaishnavas, because just by their the familial affection, you can receive the mercy of great devotees. It's even described that 21 generations of one's family members become delivered if the member of that family becomes a pure devotee. Any other questions?
We know that two kind of people cannot take to Krishna consciousness. That is, those who are too much attached to matter and those who are too much detached. Because when one is detached, he is afraid to take the path because he thinks that it is also will cause him some pain or something.
Karmi and the Gyani.
Too much disgusted of this world. And so... And how can they give up this obstacle?
Which one? The first one or the second one or both?
Second.
The second one.
Specifically, they are afraid to have relationship, personal relationship.
This is the Mayavadis, actually, the Gyanis. They want no relationships anymore. They've been so much hurt by exploitative relationships that now they want to deny all relationships.
Yeah, and tiek, reiškia, pasigiūrėjo ir įsiskaudino dėl įvairių eksploatacinių santykių, kad jie jokių santykių daugiau nebenori.
They tried to give their love to someone.
Yeah, bando kažkam savo meilę duoti.
And they were cheated.
Jie juos apgauna.
And they tried to give their love to someone else, again they were cheated. They tried to give their love to someone else, again they were cheated. And they say, that's it, I want nothing more than any relationships. I'm just going to sit in my room and I'm not going to have any relationships with anybody. You see, they become attracted to impersonal philosophy. Mayavadi philosophy. So what is the hope for a Mayavadi to come out of this shell of detachment from all relationships. If he is a sincere seeker of truth, he can come out of it. But if he is not sincerely seeking truth and he is more inclined towards exploitation, he will never come out of it.
Bet jeigu jisai nėra nuoširdus tiesos ieškotas, bet labiau linkęs į eksploataciją, savo naudiškumą, tai jis neišeis.
If he is more inclined to exploitation than he is to truth, then he will hold on to this position of Mayavadi philosophy, considering that he is the supreme.
Jeigu jis labiau linkęs į eksploataciją, tai jis ir išliks toj savo padėtį impersonalizmo, galvodamas, kad jis aukščiausias.
But if he is a sincere seeker of truth,
bet jeigu jis nuoširdus tiesos ieškotojas,
who is trying to deny all those things of the material world, deny,
kuris stengiasi, reiškia, paneigti visus šito materialaus pasaulio daiktus, dalykus.
This is the process known as neti-neti. I deny a relationship with my wife. I deny a relationship with my children. I deny a relationship with this body. I deny a relationship with this country. They just start denying everything. Deny. It's called chopping technique. Neti. If they are sincerely seeking truth, they will deny and deny and deny until there's only one thing left to deny. And what is that thing left after you've denied everything? There's only one more thing left to deny. You know what that is? Do you know? Denial! You've denied everything. Now there's only one thing left to deny. And that is denial itself. So the sincere jnani or mayavadi who wants to deny all dualities of this material existence, he will reach the philosophical conclusion of denying denial. And then there's nothing left to do except to embrace transcendence. To find relationship, pure relationship on the transcendental platform. I know, that actually happened to me. I was following the Mayavadi marg. I was denying everything. I denied everything. I was actually heading to India to become a sadhu in India, just live as a sadhu in India for the rest of my life. Completely denying everything. But on my way to India, I had this realization. That I denied and I denied until I could deny no longer. And then I had to start accepting. So then a voice inside said, don't go to India, go to San Francisco instead. And I hitched a ride from all the way from Texas to San Francisco. A few rides, good. You know, not just one run. And I went to the famous neighborhood where all the hippies live, Haight-Ashbury district. And I went into the famous park known as where all the hippies used to hang out, called Golden Gate Park. And there they were. the Harinam party.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It must have been 40 or 50, it seemed like there was 40 or 50 of them. It was a huge Harinam party. They were beautifully dressed in saris and dhotis, they just like right out of the spiritual sky. You know? So in this way, you see, I tried to deny everything, all relationships, everything. But I realized now I have to give up denial also. I have to accept something. And the Super Soul said, you're not supposed to go to India and be a sadhu. You're supposed to go to San Francisco and meet these people. So gradually I learned to accept those people and becoming one of their family members. It took me some time, but I gradually made the transition. So for those who just want to be detached from everything, if they have integrity in their pathway of detachment, if they have
integrity,
honesty, on their pathway of detachment, they will eventually have to become detached from detachment and learn how to have relationships on the pure spiritual platform. So now you had a question.
In this story, the Vidura, he had very warm feelings towards his brother, but he preached very strongly, without any sentiment. And a few days before, when Rupanuga Prabhu asked you some question, you also preached strongly. But Harikatha Prabhu, he preached, not preached, but talked in a gradual way. So my question is, how to understand in which time we should preach strongly and in which time we should preach softly?
Yes. Prabhupada explains, in like a needle and out like a plow. So, in the beginning you preach softly. And then, after you give the soft preaching, then you give the heavy preaching. You see? You have to put some candy coating on the pill, you see. And you take some bitter medicine. There is candy coating on that bitter pill. So the first thing you get is the sweetness. And then you get the bitterness. You see? Actually, the bitterness is very good for the health. But who wants bitterness? So you give some very nice candy coating. So they're willing to swallow the bitter pill. You see? The bitter pill is, you are a rascal. You defy the authority of God. And you were sent here to suffer in the birth of death. But who wants to hear that they're a rascal and a demon? Nobody wants to hear that. So, Prabhupada Sarasvati Thakur, he gives this method. He said, you approach the materialistic man, you bow down at his feet with straw in your teeth, which is a sign of humility in India. You have a straw in your mouth. And you bow down at his feet, flat on his feet, dandavat, at the feet of the karmi man. You see. And you flatter him 100 times. That, my dear sir, you are full of all good qualities. You are so a kind gentleman. Aristocratic. You have such wonderful family. You have such wonderful taste in the way you dress. Everything about you is first class. And this way you flatter him 100 times. So he's willing to hear, you see, what you have to say. Finally, now you have his attention. And then you tell him, my dear sir, whatever you've learned throughout your whole life, it is simply nonsense. Now you take the teachings of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is your life and soul. So this is the answer. Your question has been answered by Prabhadananda Sarasvati. You give them 99% nectar. And then after that 99% nectar, you give them that 1% bitter pill. But there's so much nectar, you don't mind. Prabhupada was expert at this. He was so expert, he told one scientist to his face that you were a demon. And the scientist said, yes, I am a demon. You see, if you or I did that, the scientist would become agitated, you see. So you have to be very, very expert at giving them massage, you see. You have to make them feel very comfortable and very happy by your sweet words of love, you see. The only person who can get away with being heavy are those people who are expert at being very, very sweet. If you're not expert at being sweet, then don't try to be heavy. You'll blow it. You'll backfire. You see, it won't work. Prabhupada is very expert at everything, you see. Prabhupada is very expert. They've been on the morning walk, and some mad dog would attack, you see, come charging at the devotees. And Prabhupada could just take his cane and go, hup! And the dog would stop. But the devotees tried to do it. And the dog kept coming. The devotees had to run. So one has to be expert, you see. If you want to be very, very heavy, then you have to be very expert at being very, very, very sweet. To where that person can actually feel your love for them entering into their heart. Then if you give the heavy thing, then they will think, oh, he loves me so much, he's telling me the truth. Does that answer your question? Yeah, next question.
Yesterday you also talked about the monkey mind.
Yeah.
And you said that you give your example about the stick when you used the stick to protect from monkeys.
Yeah.
But I had experience in India that when the monkey, I also took a stick and tried to chase away the monkey, but she just showed me a thief and scared me, and I had to go away. And the same thing with a mind. Sometimes I try to to beat the mind, but the mind just becomes even more scary. Or
Well, you have to try the other technique then. There are two methods of subduing the mind. There's a method given by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, beating with shoes and with broomstick. And there's the other method given by Govinda Das. You know that method? Bajahu re mana Srinanda nandana Abhaya charanada vindade. My dear mind. Instead of hitting with stick, you very sweet words. My dear mind. My dear mind. Kindly engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. Very sweet, loving voice. So if the stick doesn't work, try the Govinda Das method. Or try a combination of both. Calm the mind down with sweet words and then pull out the stick. Every devotee has his own battle to fight. You see? Each one of us has our own battle of Kurukshetra going on in our heart. So you have to see what weapons, what techniques will help you to best conquer your mind. You see? Your mind is different than my mind. Your karma is different than my karma. We all have different karma and different minds. So every devotee has to find out what is the best method for conquering his own mind. But always remember, you can never conquer it on your own. It's only when you're blessed by the dust and the feet of the pure devotee that you can, by his mercy, that you can become empowered to conquer your mind. So if you take Guru's mercy, you see, then and only then will you be successful. All right, this is the last question.
Could you give a standard and example of perfect Vaishnava relationship that it would be completely spiritual, that we should try to achieve?
The Bhagavatam is full of them. My favorite one is actually Narottam Das and Ramachandra Chakravarti. Ramachandra Sangha Mage Narottam Das. Narottam Das says, this Narottam Das is always hankering for the association of Ramachandra Chakravarti. That is the perfection. Narottam and Ramachandra Chakravarti, that relationship they had as associate devotees, that is the perfect example. Just like you have your god brothers, you see. You can think, I'm always hankering for the association of my beloved god brothers. You see. Just like I have a very dear god brother in Atlanta, Georgia. He's very, very dear to my heart. So whenever I think of him, my heart just melts in ecstasy. Even when I say his name, it sounds like poetry to me. Balabhadra Bhattacharya is his name. Balabhadra Bhattacharya. So it's like poetry for me when I hear that name, you see.
Kitą vardą girdžiu, tai tiesiog kaip poezija man.
You see. Balabhadra Bhattacharya Sangha, Mage, Sankarsana Das, you see. I'm always hankering that association of Balabhadra Bhattacharya. So in this way, we have to learn how to love the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas become as dear to us as our very lives, you see. The Vaishnavas, they are our life. They are our life and soul. So in this way, we have to have relationships with devotees. So, we can stop here. Achulabai.
Vishwan Krishna Sankarshanda Sadikari Maharaj Ki Jai.